Good morning.
Good evening.
Happy Easter. And a warm welcome to the service this morning. It's good to see everybody for this family service and all the young ones over on my right and to my centre. I hope you're in good voice today and thinking caps are on. You will be taking part in the service today. We're going to just have a few intimations before we begin, and they have been going on the screen just prior to me coming through as well. First of all, a warm welcome to everyone, and especially to those who are visiting with us today. There's a few here. It's good to have you. And if you're able to stay behind at the end of the service, it would be great to have a tea or coffee and a chance to speak with you. The evening service this evening will be in Gaelic at 6 p.m. and Farrachar McLeod will be leading that service. So, Farrachar, we will pray for you. Farrachar won't enjoy lunch today. English Fellowship will be at 8 after the Gaelic service, and the country that will be focused upon for a few minutes in the fellowship this evening will be North Korea, a country we don't hear very much about, but we'll have a bit of an insight into and a chance to pray for. Ladies' Bible Study meets 8 p.m. on Monday, and the First Fruit Fellowship as usual 7:30 on Tuesday in the Church of Scotland Hall. Road to Recovery meets also on Tuesday here in the Community Centre at 8 p.m. and the prayer meeting as usual on Wednesday at 7:30 in Kildare Cruises. I hope to be on holiday from the 1st through till the 15th of April for 2 weeks, and in my absence the Reverend Rory Morrison has agreed to be at the end of a phone for any pastoral issues. If there are anything that comes up in the course of me being on holiday, please speak once, first of all, to one of the elders, and then they can refer you to Rory Morrison if needs be. Service is next Sunday, 3rd of April. The morning service will be conducted by the Reverend Rory Morrison, and the evening service will be conducted by John McSweeney. Both these services will be in English. One or two other things. One was to say thank you on behalf of the Women for Mission for those who helped and donated to the cafe yesterday, and the amount raised was £738.75. So thanks to all who contributed and who helped with that. Soup and pudding lunch on Saturday, 2nd of April, Free Church Hall, Leverborough, to raise funds for Dorcas Educational Trust. One further information, and that's just to say, in follow-up to the congregational meetings that we had, I spoke at Presbytery on Wednesday about the plans that we have come to as a congregation, and I presented the response to the appeal and the figures along with the plan thus far, and the Presbytery unanimously approved everything that was presented, so that's an encouraging step in the process. The next step would be that the submission goes to the Board of Trustees, and that will be, I think it's on the 21st of April, so you won't hear any more until the 21st of April when they meet, but thank you for your prayers over this week past, and let's continue to acknowledge God and ask that He will direct our paths as we seek to go forward in His will. Two more information, sorry. Aman wants to say something about the website very briefly.
Most people, there's a lot of hits on the website of people listening to sermons on the website, and just to make people aware, you can download from the website onto either your own computer or onto mobile devices, etc. So if you haven't visited the website, please do listen to sermons. We've got a good few sermons on there now as a library. Eventually we'll reach saturation and need to start deleting them, but we'll have a good few months worth at any one time. Also, you can recommend others to go onto the website and listen to sermons, and that would please David, having his voice heard far, near and far. Just to say, pass the details on and do listen to it. The amount of hits we got are being looked at, so it would be good. Thank you.
Just a very quick information. A number of weeks ago, there was a request for volunteers to assist with painting the hall here. The paint's now been bought, and the scaffold is here, So those who put your name down, or if you didn't put your name down and you have availability on Monday night during the day on Tuesday or on Wednesday, if you could maybe meet with me after the hall, after the service, just at the front of the stage, that would be great. Thanks very much.
Okay, these now, I think, are all the intimations. Let's sing to God's praise, and we sing, first of all, the Mission Praise 52, a hymn that very much draws us to meditate upon the wonder of all that God has done for us, and the joy that we celebrate on Easter morning. We remember that Jesus died, we remember that Jesus rose again, that he lives, and because he lives, we can face every tomorrow that he gives us. So let's stand to sing, and we sing from Mission Praise 52, the words on the screen. God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. We don't have an organ this morning, so please sing out. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, this Easter morning, for all that we have sung about. We thank you that we are here gathered today, on the first day of the week and on this special Easter Sunday, to remember that Jesus, our Saviour, lives. We thank you that death could not hold him, but he rose from the grave. And today he lives and he reigns in heaven. And everywhere in the world, in every situation, in every person, in every place, is under the kingship of Jesus. And we thank you that because we know that, we don't have to fear. We thank you that we can face today, and we can face tomorrow, and we can face every tomorrow that you decide to give us, in the knowledge that Jesus lives, and that he reigns, and that one day soon he will return and take everyone who trusts him to be with him forever. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us to trust you, every one of you. Everyone who is here, we pray that we would be looking to Jesus in faith. Thank you for such love, Father, that you have for us, that you would send your Son into this world to live for us that life that was perfect, that we could never live, to die for us in our place, the death that we deserve because of our sin. And Lord, we thank you because he did all that. We can be your friends forever. We can be forgiven of our sin. We can receive eternal life, which we taste here, and it goes on and is perfected in heaven for all eternity. Thank you that the message of the gospel is that Jesus has done it all, and we just have to trust him and try to live for him. Lord, we admit that often we don't live in a way that pleases you. Even as Christians, we so often do things and say things and think things that we know are wrong. And even over the last few days, as we think back through our lives and the way that we've spoken to people, or the things that we might have done or not done, we see, Lord, that there is much sin in our lives and in our hearts. We pray that you would forgive us. We don't hide it from you, we can hide nothing from you. But we tell you about it and ask, Lord, that you would cleanse us in the blood of Jesus, and that you would make us clean. And we pray for your strength, the strength of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. We thank you that he comes to live in us when we believe. And we pray that we would know the strength of the Holy Spirit today and all that we have to do, and every day, that we would live more and more for you, and that we would become more and more like Jesus in the things that we do and say and think. We ask, Lord, that you would help us as a church. Thank you that we're able to meet here today and we don't have to be worried or scared. Thank you that you have promised that you will be with us, and we pray that we would feel that you are very near to us in all that we do and all that we read. We pray that you would be speaking to every one of our hearts, and Lord, that we would hear your voice. Thank you that we're able to be here as a church. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us wisdom and that you would lead us in your ways. As we've prayed before, we ask again, Lord, that you would show us your will and lead us in your will in all things. We pray for the world, Lord, that's very much broken. We look at the news and we hear about violence and all kinds of upsetting things happening in Brussels and in Syria and in Iraq and in North Korea. Your people, Lord, especially, are so badly treated around the world, and Lord, we pray that you would be with them. And even those who don't know you, Lord, we pray that you would comfort them. We think of the family of the shopkeeper in Glasgow, and we ask that you would comfort them, and that you would draw near to them, and that they would see Jesus as he is, Saviour and Lord. And Lord, we pray for our own community and for everybody who can't be here today, some who are in hospital. We think about Margaret, we think about Dunda. We ask that you would continue to be with them, that you would watch over them, and that you would bring them back to full health and strength, and bring them back to Harris, we pray. And Lord, we ask that you would be with some who are at home, who'd love to be here, but who are not strong enough today. And we ask that you would be near to them and speak to them where they are in their homes. We pray now, Lord, that you would lead us by your Spirit. Help us to be attentive to all that you have to say to us. And we ask that in all that we do, that Jesus would be lifted up and many more people would be drawn close to him. So hear our prayers and help us on this Easter day to not forget Jesus, but to celebrate the resurrection, the rising from the dead of Jesus. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Boys and girls, I'm going to read a psalm that we were reading with the big people over the last couple of weeks. There's just one verse in that psalm that we're going to think about in the time that we have today. And it's going to be a shorter service today, he says, looking at his watch. We'll definitely be out before 12 o'clock. Psalm 22, and I'm going to read it from verse 1. It's not on the screen, but you can follow in your Bibles if you have Bibles, and if not, you can just listen. Psalm 22, and I want you to think about the fact that this was written 1,000 years before Jesus came to the world. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. And your fathers put their trust. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. And you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions, tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax, it is melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honour him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nation. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. Listen. For he has done it. Amen. And may God help us to understand that reading of his word. Right, boys and girls, you've listened well so far. If you continue to listen well, there is a bag of Easter eggs here. And those who have been attentive will qualify for an Easter egg. That's called a reward. Or blackmail. Right, boys and girls. Here's the first thing. Wee question for you. Give me a volunteer. One hand up, please. What's your name again? Grace. I should know that. Grace. Grace, if you want to use my phone, how do you use it? Can you make a phone call, please?
I don't even have a password.
Pardon?
I don't even have a password.
Say it into the microphone. Well, no, you're all right.
I can't get into it.
Because?
Because there's a passcode on it.
There's a passcode on it. There is a passcode on it. Thank you. You can go back to the chair now. If there wasn't a passcode on the phone, you could be phoning Australia by now. But see, there's a passcode on this phone, and to get into it, you need to know the magic numbers. And not even my girls know the magic numbers. This morning, I don't know what time it would have been at, but when Angus Alec came to the hall, or whoever came first into the hall, what did they need before they got in? Bethany? They needed a key. They couldn't just come in and open the door because the door's locked. And so to get into the hall, you need a key. To get into this phone, you need a password. Passcode. Boys and girls, if you want to understand the Easter story, do you? Then you need to have the passcode or the key. And so I'm going to give you a passcode or a key for the Easter story today. Bethany, you come read it out for us. This is today's passcode to help us understand the Easter story. Stand at you. I want to hear it nice and loud.
He has done it.
Psalm?
Psalm 22, verse 31.
And it says?
And it said, he has done it.
Let's go a bit louder this time. Psalm?
Psalm 22, verse 31. He has done it.
One more time. Louder.
Psalm 22.
Louder.
Psalm 22, verse 31. He has done it.
Can you say it now? Can you think they can say it back to you? Psalm 22, verse 31.
He has done it.
Is that good enough? Should it be louder, do you think? A bit louder, yeah. Well, again, Psalm 22, verse 31.
He has done it.
Psalm 22, verse 31.
He has done it.
Psalm 22, verse 31.
He has done it.
That side one, definitely the first two rows. Thank you, Bethany. Now, if we understand that, what was it again? Psalm 22, verse 31. If we understand that, we'll understand Easter. And so I want to think through that passcode, through that bit of the verse, word by word with you this morning. And so the first word is he. The first word is he. Now, who could he be? Before you answer that question, we're going to play a wee game. We're going to play a wee game first. And it's a game where we look at pictures on the screen and we try to figure out who the person behind the pictures is. It's good to have Shona here for the first time today. What an awful first day to have to sit through. Now then, can you guess who is it that's behind there? No? This is a children's character that you sometimes like to see. Can you see from there who's that?
Yeah.
No? Okay, let's take away a couple of squares. Okay, who's it now? No? Anyone recognize anyone there?
No.
Go on, Alistair. It does look like the cross. Did somebody see someone over there?
Peppa Pig.
Peppa Pig? You got X-ray glasses on? How did you get a Peppa Pig? What do you think? Is she right? Keep going. Well done, it's Peppa Pig. Will we do another one? Let's have another one. Okay, who's what's that one? Who's behind there? Can you think?
George.
George, good guess. Let's go. Let's try. Oh, no. Who are they?
Turtles.
Where's turtles?
Ninja turtles.
Right?
Ninja turtles.
Yeah. What? Who is it then?
Ninja turtles.
I think we got that now. We got Ninja turtles. Okay. Will we try another one?
Yeah.
Do we like Ninja turtles?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I was going to do Bob the Builder. Apparently that's old school. Nobody's heard of Bob the Builder. Let's have another one. Okay, who's that?
Sophia the Frank.
How on earth did you know that?
Yeah.
From that, you think? Right, okay.
Sophia the First,
okay. Let's try one more time. Okay, who's that? Smart Alex. Any guesses? Go on then. Who is it? A cow. No, not a cow.
A horse,
no. This game could go on a while. Let's take like two squares. What about that one then? Uh-huh. Alistair? No. Carry on. No. About that?
Cross.
No. Oh.
Cheese.
What?
Cheese.
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 Control. Control. Are we going to put more? Control. There you go. One more.
Paw Patrol.
What's the man's name? What's the dog's name?
Chase,
okay. Okay, now you've learned a lot this morning. Now you know what to think about when it comes to the presents time. Now then, what was I going to say about any of this? That game. We started off when we had all these different pieces. And from all these different pieces, you couldn't really see behind clearly who it was that was on the squares. And as you started to put the pieces together and take the pieces away, we started to see the picture of who was on the screen. And you know, the psalm that I read out a wee while earlier, I hope you were listening, it was a psalm that was a bit like that. In the psalm, we start to see a picture of who the He is. Because remember, what's the verse again? Psalm 22, verse 31. And so, in this psalm, we start to see who the He is. So let's think about some of the things that we read in that psalm. He was, you listening? He was forsaken, verse 1. And in the psalm it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what He shouted out. Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. I wonder who could have said that. In the psalm, we hear that He cried out. It says, oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and I'm not silent. In verse 7, it says that He was mocked. All who see me mock me, says He. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. Verse 16 tells us that He was pierced. Are you starting to get a picture of who He might be? He was pierced. In verse 18, it tells us in the psalm that His clothes were taken. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. And it says in verse 15 that He dies, He is laid down in the dust of death. Who do you think, boys and girls, He could be? Grace? Jesus? What was this? Take a few of these away. Keep going. Jesus. So boys and girls, this is the first thing I want you to remember before you're going to sing. Easter is not about me or you, first of all. Easter is not about the Easter bunny and the Easter eggs, first of all. Easter is all about He. Not me, but He. And He is Jesus. And we're going to sing now about Jesus. You're going to come out and you're going to sing for us a wee song about Jesus. So, out you come. Do you want to hear that one more time?
Yes.
Do you want to hear it louder?
Yes.
Very much louder?
Yes, lots louder.
Oh, Florence said yes, lots louder. When she says that, she means it. So, can you, do you think you might be able to sing a bit louder, or do you think maybe not? What do you think, Jono? A bit louder? Yes, I think so. Thank you very much, boys and girls. You can sit down now. Can we give them a wee clap? we are going to stay sitting now, and we're going to sing the last verse of this psalm that we were reading out in Gaelic. And it says there in English, "They shall come and shall, they shall declare his truth and righteousness." I wonder who they're speaking about. His truth and righteousness unto a people yet unborn, and that he hath done this. So the verse that we're trying to remember, we're going to sing now, we're going to sing it in Gaelic. So we'll stay sitting, and Father, I think we'll be honest. Just the one stanza, thanks.
Ik schlug kus schillevisch nieter gier, ga messer iat marlein. Ik schlug kus
back out, please. Got your wee verse? Can you remind us what the verse says? Psalm? Psalm?
Psalm 22, verse 31. He has done it.
He has done it. Thank you. Go back down now. So the first word that we were thinking about was he. The second word that we were thinking about, we need to think about, is has. So he has done it. Now then, if you've got the wee thing on the screen for the next title, it'll pop up there in a wee second. Who can tell the time? You're all saying, not you anyway, it's in 12 o'clock. Who can tell the time? Can you put your hand up if you can tell the time? Is it important to tell the time? It's important to be able to tell the time, isn't it? If we can't tell the time, we wouldn't be here. We'd either be too early or we'd be too late. So the word has, that speaks to us, here we go, it speaks to us about time. Now, boys and girls, if we talk about something that will happen, that's up in the future, isn't it? On Friday of this week, what's happening? I'm going to pounce if you don't ask. What's going to happen on Friday of this week? Niche?
Pranks.
Pardon?
Pranks.
Pranks. April Fool's Day. Okay, yeah, that's right. One thing. What else is going to happen on Friday of this week? Yes, at the back?
End of school.
End of school, thank you, yes. There's going to be a holiday. And so that's something that will happen, all being well. And so you think about the word will, that tells us it's up in the future. If we talk about something that is happening, it's happening right now. So we're having a church service and we're doing all these things, and it is happening, the church service, right now. But if we talk about something that has happened, when did it happen? Yeah, Bethany? Happened in the past. Michael. Michael's doing the test now, is he? Michael, he has had his birthday. On Friday of last week, everyone, or half of Harris, was at a wedding. Now, that wedding has already happened. Now, if we go back to the verse and try and understand it, he, who's he? Shout it out. Who's he? Jesus. He has done it. He has done it, yeah. So Easter is not about something that will happen, it's not about something that is happening. Easter is about something that has already happened. Something that Jesus has already done, and something that we actually have to go back in time to read about and to remember. He has done it. You know, boys and girls, lots of people think being a Christian is about me and you, and the things that we maybe have done or are doing or are going to do in the future. Some people say things like, if I try and be really nice and if I try really hard to not do bad things and to do lots of good things, then maybe I'll be able to become a Christian and make myself a Christian. Is that right? It's the wrong way to think, isn't it? It's all wrong. We could never do enough good things to make ourselves perfect like Jesus. Never. So being a Christian, and the Christian message, especially the message that we think about at Easter, it's not about me, it's about He. And He is Jesus. And it's not about what I have done or what you have done. It's not about what we are doing just now. It's not about something that we've got on our to-do list to do in the future. It's about something that He has already done. So what has He done? Well, hold that thought and we'll think about that more in a minute. We're going to sing now about what He has done. We're going to sing from Mission Praise, a number 1003. And we'll stand for this one to stretch our legs. Mission Praise 1003, and the words will be on the screen in just a wee minute. I'll read it out just now. My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship You. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your name. Now listen to this. I sing for joy at the work of Your hands. Not my hands, not anybody else's hands, but the work of Jesus' hands. Forever I love You, forever I'll stand, nothing compares to the promise I have in You. So let's stand to sing this hymn. You know what's going to happen now, Bethany? Out you come. Take your chair. Loudest voice yet, please.
Verse 22.
Sam.
Psalm 22, verse 31. He has done it.
Thank you. Can you say that back to her? Psalm 22, verse 31.
He has done it.
He has done it. So we thought about He, and who is He?
Jesus.
We thought about the word has, and we remembered that what He has done, it's in the past, it's something that He has done for us. And now we're trying to figure out that thing, what it is that He has done. I want a couple of volunteers, please. Somebody's not done it already. Yes, out you come. Is it Grace, is it? Right, Grace. And a boy as well. John Roddy. Okay, thank you. I want to give you two a wee task. And what you're going to do is you're going to do your task. And once you've done your task, you're going to come back to here and stand in the chair and say, done it. Okay? Now, John Roddy, are you good? Are you strong?
Yes.
You're strong, yes?
Yes.
Sure?
Yes.
Can you do press-ups?
Yes.
You can do press-ups?
Yes.
Excellent. Down in the press-up position, give me five press-ups. Five. Oh, face. Wait. Face the congregation so everybody can see you. You want to get your proper posture and learn how to do press-ups properly. Down there, yeah. And when I tell you, five press-ups, remember, keep the body straight, not the backside in the air. Five press-ups, touch the down your chin as well, all the way down. Once you've done the five press-ups, you come back here and you say, done it! Ready? Go. One, two, three, four, five.
Done it.
Right, Grace, what we get you to do? Can you do one full circuit of the hall? Not a breakneck speed. We don't want any kind of rotations. Just a nice, reasonable pace around the hall. Two times. Look at two times. A wee bit faster. Number one. Lap one. A wee bit faster. Enough breath for us.
Done it.
So, John Roddy and Grace, well done. I give you a task, you agreed to do it, and once you had done it, and it was completed, you came up and you said, done it. You know, before the beginning of the world, Jesus agreed that he would come to this world and he was going to do a very special task. Jesus agreed that he would come to this world to save us from our sin. And that would mean that all the awful things that we read about in this psalm that happened 1,000 years before Jesus came, Jesus knew that he was coming to the world to do all this. Everything that was promised in this psalm, did it come true? You listening? Did it come true? Or did it not come true? Say yes if it came true.
Yes.
It came true. Every single little bit of what we read about Jesus being forsaken and all alone, crying out and no one answering, being mocked and insulted, his hands and his feet being pierced with nails, his clothes being gambled over, and then eventually laying his life down and dying. Every single bit of it that was promised 1,000 years before and was decided thousands and thousands of years before. Every bit happened. Listen. Mark chapter 15. Hugh's going to come and read that section for us, please. Mark 15, verse 22 to verse 39. I want you to be very quiet and to listen to what exactly happened that Jesus did for us. Just come to the mic.
They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, Listen, he's calling Elijah. One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
Did you hear that? Imagine that. Jesus, the Son of God, dying for us. And did you hear when Hugh read, he said that just before Jesus breathed his last, he gave out a loud cry. And in John's Gospel, another Gospel, John tells us the cry that came from Jesus' mouth. Just before he died, as he hung on the cross, he cried out something, and what he said was a word, and it goes like this. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. And you know what it means? It means it is finished. Or in other words, it means done it. Jesus was telling them, everybody who was listening and everybody who would listen hundreds of years later, as he hung on the cross and as he died, he was telling us, he has done it. Everything that was needed to take away our sin, everything that was needed for us to have everlasting life, Jesus did. The task that in love he decided he was going to come for, he did it. And just as he did it, he shouted out, "Tetelestai," done it. And Jesus has. 2,000 years ago, on that cross, Jesus died to take away our sin. So boys and girls, young and old, do you want to have your sins washed away? Yes? Do you want to be forgiven?
Yes.
Do you want to be a friend of God, a child of God?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to not die but to live forever and ever and ever? And go to be with the Lord in heaven? Well, do you know what you have to do? You have to do nothing. Because he has done it. You and I just have to believe that he has done it. And now you're going to tell us that in a lovely song. So out you come. You're going to sing now about what he has done. Boys and girls, that was a wonderful song and a great message. Some of you are looking at your watches as if it's 12 o'clock. My watch says 11:03. So remember, Bethany, out you come. Before Bethany speaks, can you tell us what she's going to say? Psalm
23:1.
Did you hear that? I never heard it. Let's ask him again. Yeah, okay. Again, please.
Psalm 22:31. He has done it.
How's that? Okay. Let's hear it again.
Psalm 22:31. He has done it.
Thank you very much. So he is, has, is something that happened in the past. What did he do for us? He died on the tree, as you were saying. And that was to take away our sin. And that's something which makes us sad, and it's something that makes us happy at the same time. To think that our sin is taken away is a wonderful thing. To think about the fact that we can have everlasting life is an amazing thing. But to think about what Jesus had to suffer because of that is a horrible thing. And if that's where the story ended, we'd be quite sad this morning, wouldn't we? But is that where the story ended? It's not, is it? If the story had ended at Jesus' death, we wouldn't have been able to sing the first hymn today. We wouldn't have been able to sing with the hope that we've got. But Jesus didn't stay there, did he? Jesus, what happened after Jesus died? He rised. That's right. He rised, he rose from the dead. Jesus didn't stay dead. He was on the cross, and just before he died, he shouted out, "Tetelestai, it's finished, I've done it." And then there was quiet. And then Jesus' body was taken down from the cross, and it was put in a tomb. And there was a big stone put at the mouth of the tomb, wasn't there? And big soldiers guarding the stone. And then on the first day of the week, Sunday, Jesus
rose from the dead.
He rose from the dead. And in rising from the dead, Jesus was showing us, he wasn't just telling us on the cross that he has done it, but in rising from the dead, he was showing us forever and ever that he has done it. And so we're going to read about that now, please. Just a brief reading that Nicky's going to read. And then we're finished. So, you've been very good.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen, lying, but could not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial clothes that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and he believed.
Thank you, Nicky. So we read there about how on the first day of the week, when they got to the tomb, they didn't find Jesus' body dead, but they found the clothes that he was laid in all over the place. And Jesus was alive. And it says that one of the disciples there, he saw and he believed. And I want to just finish this morning with a little message to the young ones and the older ones. And it's just simply this. They saw and they believed. Can you see this Easter? What the Easter story is all about. And do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus has done everything to save us from sin and to give us the everlasting life that God promises? Can you see that Easter is all about He, Jesus, and not me, and not you? And can you see that Easter is all about what He, Jesus, has already done? He has. You hear that again?
He has done it.
He has done it. So do you see it? And will you believe? And will you share in the everlasting life that Jesus showed us when He rose? And He promises to all who will trust in Him. We'll pray to finish. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the wonderful message of Easter, that He, Jesus, Your Son, has done. He has done everything that was needed to save us forever. Help us, we pray, to be able to see that, and help us, we pray, to believe that, and to share in the everlasting life that is promised to all who trust in Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing now to finish, and it's that hymn that's on the screen, Mission Praise 1072, In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found. We'll stand to sing. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen. Boys and girls, if you could, before anybody else gets up and runs for the door, head over to the table there, and there are some things for you to do, and there are some eggs for you to claim. So I'll leave that with the Sunday school teachers. Kathy Ray looks like somebody who can well handle a bag of eggs. And so you head over to the table, and then once they're over, the rest of the congregation can go out to start.